And of course, that was the great John Lennon. Love that song, and it's so poignant, and I just, I love that song. Anyways, thanks for being here, you guys. I really appreciate your attendance, and we have a very interesting show tonight. We are bringing on Elizabeth Blue. She's a horror writer and also a literary writer, and she's been smoke-free for over a year, and she is absolutely fantastic. She lives in Virginia, and we're going to meet her right now. You guys are going to love her. Hello.
Hello.
How,
how is everybody?
How's the weather there in Virginia?
It is chilly for the first day of spring, but I think coming up this week, it's going to start warming up and be more normal. So I can plant my flowers. I'll be happy.
Yeah, I thought it, you know, I always think it's warmer down there. Well, it is, right, compared to here.
Kind of. I mean, I'm right on the coast, too, so it's a little bit, sometimes it's cooler and sometimes it's warmer. It's weird.
Yeah,
it's warmer when you want it to be cooler and the other way around.
Yeah, tell me about it. I know. It's like when you have plans to go out and your hair, and it's raining and your hair goes frizzy and shit. When,
exactly.
When you don't have anything to do with perfect weather. But anyways, all right. So, yeah, so you guys, me and Beth were talking the other night about life after death. We have a friend who unfortunately is very ill right now, and so we were talking about, you know, facing death and all sorts of things about it. And Beth, can you kind of tell people, like, the background you came from, a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I've been a lifelong Virginian, and I was raised in I was raised by a single mother. And we were a Southern Baptist family. And so I was basically raised in the Southern Baptist Church. And it's a little bit, I think, like the Catholic Church, and that we are instilled with a lot of guilt and a lot of fear. and so I think that has kind of shaped the way I think about things and the way I see things as an adult. And what kind of happened is I pulled away from it because I didn't really feel comfortable with the religious upbringing. And it wasn't my mother's fault by any means. It was definitely not something that she really pushed on us, but it was just, you know, that was just what we did. Everybody went to the same churches around here. And so I think that really has shaped some of the beliefs I have now and some of the disbeliefs I have now. What else do you want to know?
Well, so, you know, like you said, you grew up believing, or, you know, it was foisted on you that, you know, that there was a hell that you go to if you do bad things, and that there was only a few ways to get to heaven and things like that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I grew up being, you know, really afraid of going to the devil, is what we called it. You don't want to go to the devil.
Right, because you might have too much fun.
That's what we say now.
Right.
But when you're 12.
Right. Yeah, no kidding. Well, see, I was raised as a Catholic, and it wasn't like, you know, we went to church on Sunday and things like that, but it wasn't, I guess, yeah, they did talk about hell, I guess. But I mean, as I got older and I've been learning so much about life after death in the past few years that I realized that, you know, they're really, I mean, I think that this is what I think about hell. Even though sometimes I wish there was an old-fashioned kind of hell that we've heard about for some people, I don't think it works that way, you know. I think that we're basically, we're not judged when we cross over. We are the ones to judge ourselves. I used to have a teacher that said, what grade do you think you deserve on this? And so it's kind of like that. Like when we cross over, we decide where am I going to, you know, where do I deserve to be? So we kind of make our own hell, kind of like we do here on Earth. You know what I mean?
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, it really does.
Yeah.
I like that a lot better.
Yeah, I know. Me too. And so, for instance, well, I read this book once called Spirit Faces, I think, by this guy Mark Macy. It's a great book. But he talked about something called the dismal realm, which is where if you cross over, say you're like an alcoholic or you're a drug addict or that you had murdered someone, you would probably end up in this place called the dismal realm, which I love that name, you know. I mean,
yeah, that's great. I want to write a story called that.
Yeah, right? So people that were in the dismal realm, he saw these people in the dismal realm. So there's bars there and, you know, for instance, okay, so say you're in the dismal realm and you love to drink. So you can't, but I think that you can still feel drunk over there. I'm not positive of that. But what they will do is they will step into, they go to a bar, for instance, on Earth, and step into somebody that's really drunk to feel that drunkenness. And I was like, oh, man, that's like scary. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he also described that, I guess one of the popes, I can't remember which pope it was, but some pope ruled that animals had no souls. So, which is absolutely ludicrous. So when he got over to the other side, he knew that he was wrong, and what he took upon himself was actually shoveling manure for the animals over there. Like that's he decided, but that was his own punishment, you see?
Right.
So I mean, I think it's so interesting. So if someone, like, you know, have you heard much about near-death experiences, Beth?
Not a whole lot. I mean, some, but, you know, not in a whole lot of depth. And
right.
It actually is a subject that I find interesting because, and I mean, I don't know if this is the right time to say it, but my biggest question is what happens when we die, you know? So it's something that I'm really interested in, but it's also something I've probably been afraid to explore in the past, you know?
Okay, but why do you think
maybe because I don't want to know, but I also want to know.
Right. Well, I mean, I can't, you know, of course, I believe in reincarnation. I think we've all been dead a million times and have lived here a lot of times.
Right.
And I can't, you know, swear to what's going on over there, of course, because what the hell. But I really do think that from everything I've heard from the other side and all the people I've talked to that have had near-death experiences and have come back to describe, you know, what it was like there for however long they were, you know, dead for. I mean, it's really this brilliancy and love that we can never imagine as human beings. So, for instance, like, okay, so say that, I don't want to hypothesize on anyone dying or something, but just say the average person passes away and you know, they take their last breath here. Before they even take their last breath here, they're already being welcomed by the other side. Like, you're going to see, you know, many spirits that you don't know how you know them, but you know them. Because our lives are so intricate, and we're all so connected. But you're going to see family members, your mother, father, whoever has passed on before you, your friends, the guy from the grocery store. I mean, they're going to be so happy to see you because we, you know, I was actually giving a reading the other night, and this woman said to me, I don't understand why my cousin died because he used to pray so much, right? And he died from COVID. And I said, that has nothing to do with, praying has nothing to do with not dying. I said, you know, actually, you know, right there, they're more alive than we are here. Let's put it that way. So there's no punishment in dying, no crime in dying. There's nothing you did wrong in order for you to die young or however old you are. You didn't do anything wrong to die. Dying is like a beautiful graduation into, you know, something that is beyond, like I said, anything we as human beings can fathom. So, to answer that question that you just asked, like, what happens when I die? You're going to be, you might be afraid a little bit, but don't be afraid. Let me school you a little bit on what to do.
Thanks.
Okay. So, you know, obviously we're all going to be afraid when we get to the point. If we know we're going to die, we're going to be afraid. But, I mean, the thing is that, like, I read this book once, actually, that was called Stranger Than Fiction. And I think that the author was, his name was Frank Edwards or something like that. But anyways, this is an old book from the 70s. And he said, and he had a list. He had a list of things to do in the book if you thought you were dead.
Oh, and, my God.
And one of them was, so try talking to somebody. If they don't answer, you know, and then the list went on, right? It was so freaking funny, right? To be serious about it. But the first thing I'm going to do, if I think I'm dead, I'm going to look for the freaking light. You know what I mean? And then I'm going to call on my mother and father and whoever else and see who gets there first.
Right.
Because, you know, it's like, but, you know, so say, like, this is my favorite question to ask mediums to come on to my show. Where did Hitler go when he died?
Oh,
what do you think happened to Hitler? Now, what do you think happened to Hitler, Beth?
Oh, my God. I don't even know. So classically, I would think Hitler went to hell, like the hell that I knew as a teenager. Like, you know,
right.
He's burning for all eternity. But,
right.
You know, intellectually, now as an adult, that's a really good question. I have no idea.
Well, I can't tell you exactly where Hitler is, but I can tell.
It's like, where's Waldo?
Yeah, right. But I can pretty much tell you that I, you know, like one of my favorite medium in the whole world, Renee Richards, she told me once, she goes, Hitler had the same light in him as you do in yourself. And so when Hitler got over there, he might have said, you know, well, I can't believe what I did here. You know what I mean? Like, what did I do?
Yeah.
And he could be doing something right now on the other side that is like his own punishment. On the other hand, there's a thing called your soul, you know, a lot of people believe that you plan your whole life before you come to Earth, that you've actually planned everything that has happened to you so far in your life. You planned it ahead of time.
Wow.
What do you think about that idea?
I think that's awesome. I mean, but clearly you have no memory of it when you get here, right? I mean, you're a baby.
No.
That's I mean, that's really a cool concept. I really like that idea. And
yeah.
Also, you know, you can also be mad at yourself for screwing up.
Totally. But, you know, of course, we won't know until we get to the other side. Like I might see someone on the other side that was instrumental in me, you know, doing something really awful and tragic or whatever. And he might have been put in my life so that would happen to facilitate that.
Yeah.
But anyway, so if we do plan our lives before we get here, we have roles to play, obviously, right? And there's free will, of course, too. So I think that some people, they plan their lives, and I think that most of our lives go according to what our souls have planned, because our souls always know better than we do. And the whole thing about life is that our souls grow, and that we learn more and more, and like, that's the whole basis of life here, I think, is that for us to learn, to experience things, to learn, and to understand that we are all connected and, you know, and to love one another. It's that simple. I know it's in the Bible, and I don't believe I believe that the Bible is written by men with an agenda. And
yeah, I tend to think of the Bible as an anthology of short stories. But,
yeah,
you know, given the source, you know, the reason for writing, you know, whichever short story you pick, there are less, just like any story that you could read now, there are potentially lessons that you could learn from those, and they have nuggets of truth in them and reality and stuff.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. But, so that's the great thing about the Bible is that I don't have a problem with the Bible. It's just a lot of the people who really, really love the Bible. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, and yeah, we could talk about how, you know, full of crap most hardcore Christians are.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, really, because if you were truly following in the ways of Christ, you would not be prejudiced. You would help people. You would love
exactly.
Everybody, you know, so it's a pretty hard act to follow. But I think that religion. I don't think you know if you're like you wear a cross and you pray all the time. I don't think that allows you to get into the place that most people call heaven any easier. I think it's what you're doing on a daily basis, how much you care, how much you give, how much you are mindful of life on earth and other people. So
I think that kind of goes along with you know, kind of where I am, you know, as far as spirituality is concerned and in relation to, you know, God and religion and being Baptist or, you know, whatever. I think I'll probably continue to question this my entire life, you know, forever and ever. But at this point, where I am now is that I just see everything as energy. Everything is just, you know, energy is the basis of everything. And so, you know, we put out positive energy when we're nice to people, when we're kind, and then there's the nasty people who are, you know, cutting you off in traffic and just putting out that negative energy, and that's just, you know, it's all wrapped up in the energy, and then that to me is what leads to possibly, you know, our awareness of people who have passed on, and you know. that's one of the things that kind of that I really just can't wrap my mind around is the fact that we could potentially communicate with people who have been, you know, who were here and they're not now. And so then where are they and all of that stuff. So just, I hope I didn't just complicate everything.
No, you didn't, no. So, I mean, I told you before, because me and Beth have known each other for some years now, and we met through our friend Lisa Minetti, who's another horror author, and we've gone to Lizzie Borden's. Were you with us, Beth? Were you there the night that we had the seance at the table, and we all stood up on one side of the table because we felt a cat going by our legs?
I remember. It may not be that time, but I do remember interacting with what I thought was a cat at the time. At one time, it was. I remember there was the woman who came. Forget her name, but there, we were all in the one room, and Dennis was there, and I don't think Heather was there that year. Susan, my friend Susan Taylor, was there. That might be the same year that you're talking about. But we've been so many times now, I can't keep them all straight.
Oh, I know, me neither. But,
but there's been a cat. So.
Yeah. No, I mean, I remember all of us standing up, and it was dark. It was, like, black in that room because we were having the seance. And all of a sudden, all of us on one side of the table, like, squeaked, and we rose, and we were like, what the hell was that? Because we felt something run by our legs. And
my memory's terrible, but that seems a little bit familiar.
Yeah, I think
was that in the dining room?
Yeah.
Okay, I do remember that then, because I felt something brush up against my leg. That was the first time I was there. That was crazy.
Okay. Yeah.
I was so afraid that year.
I know. I was scared too, believe me.
I was terrified.
I know. And then there was that shadow person in the room too. It was not any lights. I remember thinking, like, wait a minute, is that like from light headlights or something outside? But it wasn't. It was the shadow person going toward the door into the kitchen. And
yeah.
I just, yeah, that was freaky. That was freaky.
Yeah, we course, definitely had some weird things going on there.
yeah, for sure.
I've had some weird stuff happen too, and I mean Lisa and I actually talked about it quite a bit, you know, about things following her home from Lizzie's.
Yeah.
and the possibility that things followed me home from Lizzie's, and you know, like it when I first moved from Richmond to Pocosin, I had this little two bedroom apartment. I'd lived my entire life in Richmond and had never moved away from, you know, my hometown and where my family is and everything. And we had weird things happening in that apartment, just very weird things. And, you know, now in retrospect, I'm like, well, maybe we could have explained it some way, or, you know, maybe there was some sort of scientific explanation for these things. But at the time, there was no explanation for a lot of these things. And so, those things happened, and then, you know, I don't know. It's just when things like that happen and you don't have a way to explain it, then it's clearly, to me at the time, paranormal. I just really think, though, that, you know, maybe I'm inventing it. I worry that maybe I'm making this stuff up. Maybe I'm imagining things. Maybe I'm putting more, you know, emphasis on what I want it to be because it sounds cooler or it's more fun. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, but that's the thing. Listen, when someone experiences something paranormal or supernatural, what happens is you start talking yourself out of it and saying,
yeah,
oh, maybe it was this, maybe it was that. So, I mean, can you tell me what happened at that apartment?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. It's been the single most bizarre thing ever in my life, right? So, and it was actually right before I got married that the most, you know, most of the stuff was happening right before I got married and kind of tapered off. Well, it all stopped when I did a sage smudging at Lisa's suggestion. Everything was it stopped. But right up to the wedding, we had it was a grenade. It was not an active grenade. It was a grenade that my son had bought at a military show at school, and it was sitting on the entertainment center about a foot in. And my middle son was sitting across the room from me, and we both heard this big thump, right? And mm-hmm. I got up and looked, and the grenade had fallen off of the entertainment center into a cooler that was sitting next to it on the floor. There was no, nothing that would have made it, tip over and roll off or anything like that. It was so far in that, it's just not some kind of balance issue. And there wasn't a cat, up there that knocked it over. I was sitting right there. Soon after that, we lost our living room TV remote. It's actually kind of funny. So my husband, soon-to-be husband at the time, swore up and down that he had not taken the remote to the bathroom. It wasn't in his truck. It wasn't in the bedroom. We couldn't find it. We looked at between all of the cushions of the sofa, and it was just nowhere to be found. 6 months later, it showed up in between two cushions. So that was one weird thing. We also had, at our wedding, we had this big 5-gallon container of water. It was like a dispenser, and it was still sitting on our kitchen counter because we didn't use it. And I was sitting in the living room one night, and I heard this noise in the kitchen, and I got up and looked, and the container of water was sitting on the floor. It had just somehow fallen off, not just fallen off of the counter, but fallen off the counter and went across the room and landed across the kitchen on the other side. And then about a week later, it was gone, just gone. And it was just gone. We had spoons. I was losing my silverware. And here's the other weird thing is that I had just lost two of my older cats.
Oh.
And every day I would walk around the apartment and pick up pennies all over the place. I mean, I worked from home then, so I was always home. And I would get up in the morning and go to my desk, and there's pennies everywhere, and I'd pick them up, and I'd maybe have 20 cents worth of pennies. And then the next day, there's more pennies. I don't know if somebody was coming in and throwing them all over the apartment or what, but there was that.
Well, that's interesting that your two cats died, though, before that.
Yeah, they had just passed within months of each other. And also, I almost always forget about this part because it seemed not to be related to all the other things because it was maybe 6 months or so later. But one night I was, I was at home by myself, and I think my son was home, Matthew, and he was in his room watching TV, and I was in the living room watching TV, and my husband was at work. And the TV went off. And the air conditioner turned off, but it suddenly became really, really, really cold in our apartment. One of my older cats took off and ran and hid in the bathtub behind the shower curtain. And another one ran into my bedroom and hid behind the bed. Well,
wow.
I have I think Lisa Minetti may have given this to me, but I have an EMF meter. And I turned it on, and it was lighting up on my bed in my bedroom in the shape of a person. But I, it was freezing in there, and half the electronics in the house turned off, and the air conditioner stopped running, but it was freezing. It was the craziest thing. That right there is the one thing that I cannot deny ever having happened. There's no other way I can think of to explain it other than somebody was visiting me. I don't know who it was.
Oh, definitely. That's
but it wasn't
think.
Anybody mean because I wasn't afraid.
Right.
One of the cats was. He was I don't want nothing to do with this.
No kidding. And that is a good indication when your pets start freaking out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I keep cats. You know, I want an indicator of what's going on. Yeah, she knows. She knows what's going on, man.
I'm sure. Oh, shit. But, yeah, so those are the only two instances you can think of where weird things happened.
Yeah, I mean, Lisa told me, she was like, you need to get some sage and you need to do a smudging. And she told me how to do it, and I did it, and nothing happened after. There were maybe a couple of weird little things that I, you know, that may have happened soon after that, but after that, nothing. And then we moved to another place. We moved into a townhouse, and nothing ever weird happened there. And now I live in, you know, the house that I bought back in 2019. And this house is 115 years old. And knock on wood, nothing happens here.
Right, that's good. Right.
Yep.
Yeah, I wonder, like, when you lived in the old place, if what was, like, what was around there, there might have been some sort of, because, I mean, Virginia is,
yeah,
you know, that's kind of where, like, a lot of battles took place and all that, you know?
I really wish I kind of knew, you know, what that was all about. I mean, I've always been curious about it. And at the same time, I've been like, well, maybe if I had, you know, maybe I could explain it some other way. Maybe there was another reason for, you know, for all the little things that happened. But as a whole, when you put them all together, it's just too, I can't explain it, honestly. I really just cannot.
So. Right. Yeah. I remember the last night that I slept at Lizzie Borden's, and it was when Dennis was still alive. And me and Dennis were down. I was like, I wasn't going to bed. You know, Lisa always, whenever she went there after the conference, she was always so beat. She would, like, just go to bed really early, you know.
Yeah, because poor thing, she didn't sleep the entire conference.
I know. And so she was upstairs, Sephora was upstairs, and then it was just me and Dennis downstairs. So Dennis had that thing on his phone, the app that, like, tells you words and stuff for ghost app. And
I remember that.
So me and Dennis are in the, like, parlor room, right? And he's, like, laying on the couch, and I'm, like, laying on the other couch across from him, and he's like, oh my god, it just said monster, right? And I said, what?
oh my god,
I miss Dennis so much.
Oh yeah. Me too, man. He was the best.
He really was. Oh my god, you know,
he would do anything for anybody.
He would. I mean, that last time that I went to Lizzie's, like I said, he comes to my door, and I'm like, what are you doing here? He goes, I came to pick you up to go to Lizzie's. I go, I didn't ask him to come pick me up, but I'm so glad. I said, just give me 20 minutes to get ready, you know? But, I mean, he would. He was such a sweetheart. Such a sweetheart.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, man. But, yeah, so in terms of your question, like, can you talk to the dead? Yeah, you can talk to the dead, man, you know? It's like, I mean, I'm not the perfect person. I mean, I do pretty good, but I mean, like I told you, my favorite medium in the whole entire world, she actually talked to Dennis. I sprung it on her at the last minute. I was on the phone with his two daughters, Carrie and Amy. And
wow.
I was like, I said, I'm going to bring someone on to talk to you about your dad. So Renee didn't know what was going on, but Renee comes on, bing, bam, boom, everything. And, you know, it was just like she knew everything that he was saying, and he was saying that, you know, they need some time, they don't understand. Like, I think that, I don't want to say, but I mean, I didn't know if they were like, I think that they were floored, but they didn't know how to react. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like it was strange. But I have gotten so much proof that we can talk to the dead that I am 2,000% sure. He said we are all energy. Everything is energy. Energy never dies. So
right, exactly. The energy has to go somewhere.
Yeah.
That's the one thing, that's the one idea that keeps me thinking that yes, reincarnation is real, because I also have had times where I'm like, nah, it can't be, you know. But I think that I just need like a t-shirt or something that says, I just don't know. You know what I mean? I just don't know.
Well, I mean,
that's really what it all boils down to. I just don't know.
Right. I mean, none of us knows 100%. Well, I can tell you, like I just said, I believe 2,000% that there's no way we don't die. We never die. But I mean,
none of us knows
exactly what the hell happens, because even Renee said to me, they show me like how it is over there, but there's things that they can't tell us. They can't, for instance, they can't tell us. Like, I could talk to my mom and say, Mom, tell me what I should do about this situation or whatever. And my mother would come back and say, you know, I can't – she's not going to tell me anything that's going to change my own will, my own path.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, she's not going to do that. You know what
I mean? What are the winning lottery numbers for next Saturday?
Yeah, right.
That one.
I can tell you right now, 8652 for the four daily numbers. That's what it is, 8652.
I'm writing that down.
Write it down. But people always say that. They're like, oh, if you're so psychic, why can't you win money or why can't you, you know?
Right.
And it's not about that. Like, okay, let's take, for instance, what's her name? Sylvia Brown. You know who she was?
Right.
Okay. So she, at the end of her life, she was 80% incorrect in her readings.
Uh-huh.
And I think a lot of people think, are of the mindset that if you do have this gift to speak to the other side, once you start corrupting it by totally, you know, asking $1,000 for a reading, and she was wrong a lot. She got those two kids that she said were dead that were in fact alive, and they were found.
Oh my God.
That was ridiculous. But so I think, you know, I think that if you have a gift where you can speak to the other side, then you can't, you know, I mean, don't be all cocky and take advantage of it. Because
yeah, don't exploit it. That's ridiculous.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, Beth, I think that's like a case
of the universe being like, nope, I'm taking it back.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Exactly. Like, who's going to ask that much money for a reading? That's terrible, you know?
That is terrible.
Jesus. That lady, I don't know. People love her still to this day, and I just don't get it. She was so arrogant.
I think there are just a lot of misinformed people who are, you know, they don't have necessarily the knowledge that a lot of other people like us have. I hate that sounds kind of like elitist and snobby, but I think people just don't think.
Yeah, they don't.
That explains our last president.
People don't want to know the truth. You know what I mean? It's like
they want to believe what they believe, and they want to make their world look like what they think the world looks like. I know that sounds stupid,
but
I think you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Totally. So we're going to be giving away something tonight. So if you are in chat, And I know many of you on the line right now are not in chat. So get into chat because we're going to be giving away a couple of really cool things. One of them is a purple energy plate from Purple Plate.
Oh, cool. I can attest to the I can give you an advertisement for those purple energy plates right now. I have them for my knees. I don't know whether I have arthritis or what, but I have had trouble with my knees for most of my adult life. And they really, really help. I mean, they make it possible for me to go on hikes. So, yes, you really want to have those.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, that's my business, purpleplace.com. But, I mean, I love to give them away so people know what they can do. And, I've had the business for 23 years, and thank God. And so I give them to people that can't afford them best. And I think that's so important. If you think you need one, tell me. You can't afford it, tell me. I'll send you one, you know? And So we're going to be giving away purple plates tonight. So it's got to be in chat. So the only people we have in chat right now are Aloha Jay and Jezzy. So,
hey Jezzy. Hey Aloha Jay.
So get into chat, you guys, if you want to win one of these, you know? So Jezzy says, I've wondered what purple plates were for. They're for so much. I mean,
a lot of things.
God. Yeah, there's, like, so many testimonials on the site about what they do. They are, like, and when they say expect a miracle, you really can expect a miracle.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but your expect a miracle card that I received with, I forget what it was that I bought years and years ago, I kept it, and it was one of the things, I'm convinced, is one of the things that made it possible for me to buy my house. I totally manifested buying this house. I really did. And
really?
That was one of the things. I had it sitting on my computer monitor. I also wrote, like, out some, you know, I don't even know what you want to call them, but I wrote things out, and I would, like, like affirmations, that's the word. And that your Expect a Miracle card is one of the things that helped me buy my house. So thank you.
Wow. Yeah.
I can't believe I never told you that.
Yeah, wow. I mean, that's something else, because I talked to a guy once who, he's like world famous for making money. I forgot what his name is. But anyways, this was a couple of years ago, and he told me what to do to make money with the purple plate. Like, he said, write down what you need on a little, you know, piece of paper for 20, you write it down every day, you put it on the plate, and then you write it down for 20 days. You write this down, the same thing every day, you put it on the plate. Get this, Beth. The last time I did this, I needed $30,000 in order to get an operation for my MS, right?
Yeah.
Because I didn't have, my insurance wouldn't pay for it. So get this. So I put down, you know, I will get $30,000 by what, I think I said, I will be, I can't remember. It was something about I need $30,000, right? So
yeah.
By the end of that month, I get a phone call from this hospital, the Dartmouth Medical Center in New Hampshire, and they said, we've chosen you to get the operation for free.
Wow.
That was $30,000. So I manifested it by doing
You totally
that.
Did.
Oh, my God. I was freaking out, you know?
That's crazy.
I know.
But it works.
It freaking works, man. I'm telling you.
It does.
So
it works.
And actually, I did it, too, when my dad had Alzheimer's, and I needed money to take care of him because I was putting out like $3,000 a month, you know, and that was a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so I said, you know, please allow me to have the funds to take care of my dad at home without, you know, putting him in a crappy nursing home.
Yeah.
So thank God I was able to do that. And I'm so thankful, you know, that I was able to do that because,
amazing.
You know, yeah. So it was so cool.
It really does work. Yeah. And I need to do it with a lot more things, but I get intimidated and then I'm like, you know, doubt creeps in. But then I have to remind myself, I this is why I have my house. So, you know, maybe I can do it with more things.
Oh, yeah. No, give it a try, man, you know. I haven't done it since my father, taking care of my dad. I haven't done it since then, but I got to think about doing it again, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I try to be reasonable. I'm not asking for $1 million. I'm just asking for what I need. You know what
right.
I mean?
I think that makes a difference. You know, if you're not being greedy, you're being, you know, realistic. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I think that really does make a difference.
Yeah, I think so, too. So, anyways, okay, so we're going to take a quick break. And I know some of you are on call for a reading, and we will get to you. There's only actually a few people on the call right now for a reading, and we will get to you, so don't worry about that. But we are with Beth Blue, and that's her real last name, right, Beth?
It is, yeah.
So,
you know, I got my COVID vaccine the other day, and they gave me a blue Band-Aid. He was like, I'm going to give you a blue Band-Aid.
Wow. That's cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's such a cool last name, you know.
It's not very usual. So.
No, it's not.
I like mine it. It's easy to spell.
It is, and it's cool.
It's at the beginning of the alphabet.
Right. Let's talk about some of your writing when we get back. I'm going to play a quick song, and then we'll be back. And then shortly after, we'll start to take calls. And thanks, you guys, for hanging in there. I appreciate it. So we're going to play, let me see, what are we going to play? What do you like best from music?
Oh, my goodness. I like everything.
You like The Doors?
The Doors are great, yeah.
Okay, I'll play The Doors. This is 5-1. Baby, 1 and 5. Okay, we'll be right back.
Hey, come on. Love my girl. She looking good. Come on. One more. 5-1, baby, 1 and 5. No one here gets out alive now. You get yours, baby, I'll get mine. Gonna make it, baby, if we try. Understand, trading your hours for naked, baby, in our prime. Come together one more time.
Get together
one more time.
Love my girl. She looking good. Looking real good. Love you. Come on.
Be. Say. Come out.
Okay, and of course that was Jim Morrison.
Now back to our regular programming.
Okay, thanks, Jim. And Jim Morrison, oh man, did I ever have a crush on him when I was younger?
No kidding.
I thought he was still alive because when that book came out, No One Here Gets Out Alive, there was all this mystery. Is he still alive, you know? So I remember, Beth, you're going to crack up. So I called, California. I found Jim Morrison in California, and I called this guy up on the phone, and I'm like, is this Jim Morrison? He's like, yeah. And I'm like... and the guy was like, I can't believe that you're calling me thinking I'm the Jim Morrison. It was ridiculous. I used to call all the rock stars back then. It was so funny. But anyways, whatever. Okay, so we are back with Beth Blue, Elizabeth Blue. She's a writer. She's a great writer. And she is also an empath. And we are going to begin readings now, and I just want to mention, y'all, that I do have a new book out, so if you guys want to order my book, it's called Awakening Persephone, so be cool if you guys bought my book. That's all I'm saying.
My copy will be here Monday, apparently.
Oh, you ordered it?
I ordered one, yeah.
Oh, my God, thank you. Jeez.
Because I love your work.
Oh, my God, thank you. Gee, I didn't realize
You're welcome.
That. How sweet. Okay, all right, so the first caller we have.
Bless your heart.
Bless your heart. Who do we have at 780?
Yes, it's Jay calling from Canada. Thank you much.
Hey, Jay, how are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
Yeah, how about yourself?
Okay, so we're doing okay, I think.
Hello?
Yes. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good. Okay, so how can we help you?
My question is that there's a number of people who've decided to take their own responsibility in their own hands for the health decisions they've made. And it's going to probably have either dire or deathly consequences for that. and just wondered, is our staff going to be reduced because of those decisions made for themselves?
Were
they made for themselves?
Yeah, the feeling I get is going to be reduced by 3 people. I don't think it's going to be reduced by a lot, but like about 2 or 3 people.
Okay.
It's strange the way things are meant to be. Sometimes when they seem tragic, but they're meant to be. It seems like there should be less people than there is. Is that accurate or not?
Well, we're at a minimum right now, and just because of people taking their, their health issues in their own hands, like I said, so it's going to really severely cripple the business that I work for. I think not severely, but it's going to cripple it. And I don't know if the powers that be or the health and safety people are going to be awoke what's going on and take action,
I think that new people are going to replace them fairly quickly.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to lose good people though, right? I mean,
I mean, that's just, Beth, do you feel anything about it? Oh, you're breaking up. Beth, you're breaking up. Beth? Oh, I guess she can't hear. Yes, Beth, we can't hear you. You're totally breaking up. We can't hear you. So maybe you could call back in. I'm not sure what's going on, but if you can hear me, we can't hear you. Okay, she's going to probably call back in. Okay, yeah, she's going to call back in. Okay, sorry about that, Jay.
No problem.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. So we have a delay.
I don't see this being very detrimental. If it is detrimental to the business at all, it's just going to be a very short time. And I see it righting itself, very quickly.
Is going to people be on long-term disability because of it?
I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure.
Okay.
It doesn't seem like it's going to be a bad thing at all. I don't know why. It just doesn't seem like it's going to be detrimental in any way.
I just wondered also, and maybe a question for you, is the funeral or death industry going to grow as a result? It's happening in our world right now. What's going to happen in the future? It's going to be a real growth industry, I feel. But I just wonder what your thoughts are about that, including your mediumship work, that you'd be busy. We'd be really, really busy.
I don't know. I think that, here's the thing. The industry will always continue to grow. I don't think it's going to grow exponentially at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But it will grow according to, it grows all the time, but it won't grow exponentially right now, I don't feel. And Beth is back. Beth, are you there?
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, now
yeah,
we can
hear
you. Yeah. Yay.
Yeah. So did you feel anything about Jay's question about his the facility he works at?
One of the things I was thinking was that it's probably not a whole lot different from the company I work for, it sounds like. And there may be, you know, a few minor losses, but I think you'll make it up. I think you'll be all right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. Why are you thinking about getting into the funeral business, Jay?
No, I just wondered. I think it'll explode in the next, well, maybe this year and into next year. So I'm just, anything related to death will be, or long-term disability stuff will definitely be very big, I think, for next year.
Yeah,
or this year, next year.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For the people that made the wrong decision. So.
No, I know. Yeah. And that's the whole thing. It's like, it's their decision, right? It's like, we can't stop them from doing the wrong thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's too bad. But, I mean, you know, there's also people that are smart about it that are still dying, you know? So, I don't know.
Okay. My last question is that when you were saying in the interview today that if you're planning to, or if you're going to, at that moment when you are going to cross over, you would get a lot of dreams about friends and family that passed on already, and they're kind of like signaling you, or maybe that's a signal that you may be passing on soon. Is that correct what I heard?
No, I didn't say that.
Or I just wondered, or is it? I'm just curious.
No, I think that a lot of people that have dreams, like I had this question from someone the other day. They said, I keep dreaming about dead people, and I feel like they're trying to pull me with them. And yeah. I said, I don't think so. I don't think, you know, I'm always dreaming about dead people, but I mean, I don't think that you dream about dead people when you're going to die. I don't think that. You know, you see them. If you're delirious, you're going to see your mother or father, you know, but not.
Oh, okay.
I don't think the dreams have much to do with that. I don't think.
Yeah, I agree. I've had dreams, like for the last several years, about a particular friend of mine. She was my oldest friend. We met in fourth grade back in the 70s. And from time to time, I dream about her. And honestly, I think I'm lucky in that I don't have a whole lot of close relatives, knock on wood, who are gone. But I think that when you dream about somebody that has passed, I think it's just your you know, it's just something that is in your subconscious that's thinking about that person. I don't necessarily think that they're pulling you or saying, "Hey, come join us," you know, that
right.
kind
no,
of
no, 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 no. It just for me. I just wondered because it's just a sign that you're getting, your spirit is getting closer to the veil, right? If you're going to pass. Before you pass
if
on,
you if
right?
you're at that point,
yeah.
I don't.
I mean, very. Yeah. I mean, I would think that. Yeah.
Okay.
That if you're actively dying, I mean, let's use that phrase. Then I think it would be great to see those people, like welcoming you, so to speak.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. I don't, but again, I don't think that dreaming about the dead night after night means that you're any closer to death, you know?
Right. Okay. Alrighty. Yeah, that's all the questions I have right now. How do I get a hold of you regarding email? I just wondered about that because I'm actually one of the persons who is in the chat room. I won a purple plate, so thank you.
Yay!
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for that. So I just wonder if there's an email or anything like that, because I tried getting to send it to the chat box, but it didn't work properly. So
yeah, are you on Facebook, Jay?
I'm usually not on Facebook now, but I can go to the Facebook page and message
okay.
you there.
If you look up Corrin De Winter, Corrine, and then De Winter.
Yeah.
Corrin De Winter, you'll find me, and you can just message me your address there.
Okay.
All right. You're gonna love it.
I look forward to it. But thanks so much. Thanks so much for the gift. I guess that's what all the angel numbers were I saw today were all four, I guess, for that. So thank you, angels.
Yeah.
Too.
For sure.
Okay. So I'm on the web page now, so I'll take a look and see if I can email somebody there about that. So anyhow. Alrighty.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jay.
You're very welcome. So many blessings to you, and I look forward to talking to you soon. So great for the messages. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, next caller we have is 201.
Hello. Hi, Corrin.
Hey.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello.
Hi, this is Jackie.
Hey, Jackie. How you
doing? How you doing, my love?
Okay.
How are you doing? One day at a time. I'm going to give you the Wendy Williams. How you doing? I'm seeing my 11-11 lately, and I had a few things that happened recently that were kind of shocking, but I'll get through it. I just want to know if I have a message on the other side. I feel more so like my father, and I'm just trying to get some guidance with some things and move forward. I'm going into my 10-year mark. Anniversary is this week, and 10 years went by like a blur.
Right.
Something happened the other day over by the house, and I wonder was it to get my attention, or was it just a coincidence, or is it a sign? But I'm trying to understand.
So did this have to do with one of your sons?
Yes, it was his car, but he wasn't there. His car was hit. Some stray person ran in the driveway, hit the car, and damaged the garage. But it is my son's car.
Okay.
It sure
okay.
is. And he lost a friend as well.
Oh, shoot.
But he
okay.
wasn't there.
Mm.
Right. Sorry to hear that. Father.
He saw some property damage.
Yeah. Father, you know your father's beside you all the time, Jackie. You know that, right?
I feel him. I just try to understand. I know he's always been with me.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody else has that feeling, but I know he's always been with me from, you know, even before my mom passed. And, you know, I'm trying to follow the guidance and the inspiration.
Yeah. So when I think about your dad, it's like he's standing next to you. And does this make sense that he's like, I hear music, like he's, I know this sounds weird, but he's like beating a drum or something. Does this make any sense to you?
Absolutely. He was a DJ.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Yeah.
Your father's a very strong spirit. He's with you, Jack. He's like, she's tough like I could be. She knows, and I know... You've gone through a hell of a lot, You got to understand that you are the designated person to go through this stuff, unfortunately. but you're not alone. You are definitely not alone. Let me see. Was that a sign to you, you said? Let me see. No, it was not a sign to you. It was a sign that you are in the right place at the right time, that you can somehow you can maneuver things or finesse things in the way that they couldn't be if you weren't present or you weren't a part of something. So it wasn't necessarily a sign to you, but it was just like sort of like your caring, your understanding could help the situation in a way or something like that. Like you needed to know about this, you needed to be aware of this because you're needed in some way in that situation. I would say this, Jackie. So when I see the people around you, they're not as solid as you are. Like they're not as firmly planted in faith and everything else that goes with having your feet on the ground and knowing the time of what time it is. You're solid, and the people around you seem to be a little bit wobbly, and you're kind of like keeping them grounded and safe and letting them know that everything is really okay. It's okay. So that's a huge thing.
I understand what you're saying. I really do. I'm just trying. Like, if I could get my husband to understand what I see, because he doesn't understand what I see spiritually or what I feel or what I want to do. We tag team in some sense, but our belief systems are, like, so different. Like two opposite poles when it comes to that. Our belief systems, our faith, you know, our spiritual practice. But there's certain things that I know that I need to do, and I know my father would expect me to do or want me to do, because that's what I learned from him. And then there's some things that I got from my mother that I appreciate so much, I hold dear to. But my husband doesn't see it that way, but I there's some moves that I have to make just to even to get myself back together and be grounded, because that, they are wobbly to me. They pull me in a million and one directions. I'm like dark, you know?
Right. But other than that, when I'm looking at you, look good though, Jackie. You look like, when I'm looking at your, like, your spiritual body, it looks good. It looks whole. There's no breaks in it. You're, like, strong, you know? You're strong.
Well, I do need to talk to you off the air because there's some things that I need over at the other house. And I know that. I feel it as I walk in. And I'm ready to make my move. But I'm working from home. You know how they say don't bring your work home? You can work at home.
Yeah.
I've been working from home this week, made a year. And instead of it getting easier, it got harder. Like, they pushed everything on us.
Wow.
I teach remotely from home, and that's not been easy. Because I'm like Elizabeth, I'm very empathic, and I actually even feel it in the computer. Like, I can't even go to my computer on the weekend. The computer where I work from, I can't even go to it on the weekend. It's like, oh, I need to go to it. But there's things that I have to do in my personal life, because the blurred lines with work and home and balancing, you know, so I can get my own personal papers to submit and move forward. It's always like having to be put on the back burner because of the demands of work.
Right.
I'm not ready to go back in a physical building, because where I live, these cases are, they're going up and down like heartbeats, you know? I don't think we're fully out of it, and the young people definitely don't realize what's going on. They think it's not real.
I agree.
So it's some things I have to do to protect myself and ground myself and move forward. I just, you know, wanted to see if I had any and the guidance comes from the other side, and just to clear my head and my spirit.
Right. Yeah. So, Jackie, you're friends with me on Facebook, right?
Yes. You know what? I just saw your paintings the other day with the angels. Beautiful.
Thank you.
And you know I cherish my little cards. I need that.
Yeah. Thank you, Jackie. So why don't you send me a message on there. Let's make a date to talk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Because I know there's... Yeah, I know there's stuff we can't get into here, but I would love to talk to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now,
in the meantime,
is Elizabeth still on the phone?
Beth,
did she get knocked off the line?
Yeah, if I may.
When your call dropped, could I tell you something? When your call dropped, like my microwave was acting really strange. And it was so funny because it was like you got dropped off. It my microwave did something really strange when you dropped, and then when you came back on, it came back on.
Crazy! Wow.
Right. So I was like, am I receiving the communication? People like this video, what? Then you dropped and came back on, and I caught the tail end of the conversation when you were talking about taking care of your parent and not wanting them to go in a nursing home and all that. Before that, I would have to go in the archives and listen to it. But that part of the story resonated with me. My parents didn't go. My mother didn't go in the nursing home, thank God, but my father had been very ill before he transitioned. And it took him a while on the other side. I was told that in years in terms of healing and she was very sick, very bad. So I wasn't sure if you
So you are so much more powerful than you even realize, Jackie. You know what I mean?
I've heard that from many people. What I kind of wanted to say.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sometimes I feel it. And then other times I'm wondering if it's just my mind telling me that. Sometimes I really do feel it because things that happen, I'll get it in advance.
Right. Beth, what were you going to say?
Then when it happens, I'm like amazed. Like even this freak accident, I can honestly tell you about maybe 3 or 4 days before that, I jumped up out of my seat. I heard a beep. It was an accident. There was no accident around me. And whoever hit this vehicle 3 feet, it moved the vehicle 3 feet and went into the garage door and hit another vehicle and gave me a whole bunch of property damage. It was a big boom. I don't know how they survived. But they were able to back out a 60-foot driveway and disappear. But I heard it in advance.
Geez. Beth, what were you going to say, Beth?
I was just going to say that, Jackie, you sound to me like you're like a super strong woman, like you're the glue of your family. And I just worry that you need to de-stress, just take a deep breath and, you know, do some stretching or some yoga or, you know, something like that for your health, for your mental health and for your physical health.
Right.
Just take a deep breath, you know.
So you're in Tidewater, right? You're in that area?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
See, I would love to trade places with you. To be near that water, to do that. So I have to wait for the weather to break because I do want to rake the grass and lay down on the grass and do exactly what you say.
Yeah.
But being stuck in the house hasn't been making it possible, and being stuck at the computer just made it worse. I agree with you.
I know. But I feel like you are going to be able to do that, Jackie. I feel like you're going to be able to get to the water and to relax. And I think it's coming soon, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. But listen, we'll talk, though. We will talk. So send me a message and...
I will. I like to continue to listen to the show if you're going to take other callers. You mentioned a lot of callers. And I hope even my situation help other people as well, you know?
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Jackie. I love you, Jackie. I love you so much.
You know I love you, too. You're my sister.
You are.
You're my sister.
You are my sister,
You know, we'll talk. You're my sister.
Yes. Yes. Okay, so, message me and we'll
talk.
Yeah,
I'll call back. Help someone else. I'll send you a message.
Okay, please. And I'll put you on hold.
I will.
After the show. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, love.
I love that, Jackie. You know, when my father was sick, Beth, she didn't even know me at the time, but she donated money to me so I could help my dad, and I will never, ever forget that. I will never forget
that. Oh, wow. That's awesome.
It was. It was just
I love it.
Yeah. She's just a wonderful – she knows what time it is. She knows what time it is, you know. Okay, so the next call we have is 520. Can we have
I got on. I didn't think it was going to happen. Oh, my Lord. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Who do we have?
This is Lisa calling you. Thank you so much.
Hi, Lisa. You're welcome.
Thank you. Oh, I love listening to you, ladies. Oh, God. You know, Corrine, I called you a few weeks ago when this started, this situation that I'm in. I had left a 20-year relationship, and this person came into my life out of the blue. And I called you and I said, is anything going to start up with this individual? And indeed it did, romantically. And then I was in conflict, and then I did the worst thing I possibly could have done. I started talking about my feelings a lot. I said, I don't understand what's going on. I'm really crazy about you. And I kept throwing him out of the house very nicely, diplomatically. And so... And he always came back. You know, I would call him, and he was here, you know, within minutes. He'd be here, and we'd talk, but I was just so confused. And at the same time, enjoying myself with him. Anyway, this last time I called, you know, talked to him, and he was leaving, and he said, well, if you want to talk, go ahead and call me. And I did the next day, and I said, can we just talk, and we'll make it very bright and positive and uplifting. I thought he said, okay. Now, prior to that, he was always here. You know, he'd always come. I haven't heard from him for a week.
Okay.
And did he walk away?
Well, what did I say to you at that time, Lisa?
You said, I'd have to go back in the archives because I was thinking about that today because I knew your show was going to be on. And I thought, I'll have to listen in the archives because one of the things you said, it was bright and positive what you said, and you said it's going to really open up, I'm paraphrasing what you said, a lot of things will begin or something like that. I'll have to go back to the archive and listen.
Okay. So you want to know now what is going on with him?
Is he going to come back?
Okay. So Lisa, did you tell him to get lost or you didn't tell him to get lost?
What did I say? I said to him, what did I say to him? I said, it would have to be all told to you, and there's not enough time to tell you what I said, because it came in bits and pieces, what I said to him. We were talking, we were being with each other, and then I said bits and pieces. And I don't know. That's why I'm calling you guys. I didn't say it was final. I didn't say it was final. I said maybe, what did I say? God, I'm trying to put all this together here. Down, and we were talking. Okay, this is what I said. When he came to the house, I threw myself at him, and I was kissing him all over. I said, God, I missed you so much. I just missed you. And I said, did you miss me?
Yeah.
But see, I'm telling you out of context, because there was stuff that happened prior to that where he was telling me he wanted the relationship, and he told me a few times he wanted the relationship, and he said, well, give it a week. And I said, well, I may not answer the phone. So I was saying crap like that to him, because I don't even know why I said crap like that. Now I'm like, oh, my God, why did you say crap like that to him? So
that's
okay. You know.
That's okay. Yeah. But he, listen, I feel like he really is so attracted to you, and he does really like you, Lisa. I don't think he's gone. I think he's just floating off of your wishy-washiness a little bit and saying, well, maybe she needs a break. Maybe, you know what I mean? I don't know what signal she's sending me here. I think that he'll be back. I don't think that this was the end. This is the end of the chapter, maybe, not the end of the book. What do you think, Beth?
Yeah, I think the same thing. I think he is worried that you are maybe not as into him as he is into you. So maybe he's kind of like holding back. Maybe he's just like, maybe he's afraid.
Well, okay, ladies, I've been very upset for a week because I came to depend on him in the way of, we both told each other we enjoyed our conversations. Plus, we were intimate, and it was really off-the-wall intimacy, and it was great. And so now I'm like, oh, my God. He's, you know, I called him twice that night. I thought, because I kept thinking, he's never done this before. Is everything okay? You know, is he taking a shower? And where he lives, there's trouble with the phone. You know, he lives in a canyon. So then I just stopped. Because I wondered if everything was okay, and then I haven't heard from him for a week. And I thought, what the heck is going on? So I'm feeling very sorry. I've had time to reflect, and I've just decided I'm going to live in the present. And I'm hoping that I'm not fooling myself, like depending on something that's not real, that he'll never come back, and that's a done deal, and I should let it go. You know what I'm saying? That maybe I should wake up and smell the coffee and just that he's done. He's just done with me. And
I think you should be 100% honest with him. Just like flat out tell him exactly what you think.
I don't know what I think. I'm just planning on living in the present with him. You know, I'm not planning the future with him. I haven't heard from him for a week. So I don't know, but you think, Corrine, he's coming back?
I do. Yes, I do. First of all, we don't know if he had to do something in the course of a week, if he had some other plan or something to go help somebody or anything like that. We don't know that, right?
No, we don't.
Okay. If Lisa, I say if by the end of the next week, if you still haven't heard from him, then I'd be a little wary. But I think he likes you. I think he enjoyed his time with you immensely. I don't think that he's gone. You know, I think that he's either doubting your feelings or your intentions or, you know, like, you know, but it's not anything like he's not attracted to. He is. Just so as you go through tomorrow and the next day, just, and you didn't hear from him, just think like, okay, you know, you haven't been kept messaging him, correct?
Oh, no, he doesn't have, because of where he lives, he doesn't have that capability. The signal doesn't reach him. He has to get onto the highway, and he said it's not worth it. I mean, you know, so anyway,
okay.
No, he doesn't have that capability. No, I haven't been contacting him at all, but I've been miserable this past week and thinking, you know, about stuff and about him, and I don't like it. I don't like feeling miserable. You know, I don't like it at all.
I know, because now you need him, right? You need him. I know that.
Well, I don't even know. I don't even know when he comes back in. You know, I don't know how I'll be comfortable with him now. You know, I don't. Anyway, so I just wondered if I was living in a fool's paradise, like that was it. It was just a done deal, and he cut me off, and I'm not. I should just move on and forget about this.
Well, I don't think you should move on yet. I think that, you know, you were beginning to cultivate something that was meaningful, and I think he gets that too. I just think, like Beth said, that, you know, just give it a little time here. We don't know what happened in those few days either, this last week. We don't know what happened, you know. But I think that if he was going to say, if he's going to ignore you from now, I would be shocked if he's not going to come back. I would be shocked. Let's put it that way, you know. He's really into you. He finds
I'm
you
so
interesting,
into him.
Too. He thinks you're smart, and he's like, didn't you talk about stuff like art and things like that with him, and he was interested?
Oh, we talked about everything under the sun. We talked in bed. We talked out of bed. We talked when he was leaving. We talked, talk, 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 talk. I wish I could have recorded it so I could listen later. I was so tired all the time. You know, I just, it was a lot of talking. And I just missed him. I got used to him, but I was in a 20-year bad relationship, and I didn't think I was going to get out of that relationship, and I finally was able to. And he was right there. He kind of, he worked for my former boyfriend, and then he was with me. And then, so he kind of saw, not the nasty ending, but he kind of knew about it. And so he was just there, and we just started talking and working together. And then I told him I really liked our conversations, you know, and then it just, one thing led to another, and I just got really, really used to him. He's very nice, very interesting. I don't know. I could go on and on. But, you know,
okay.
So I kept saying I'm in conflict. I don't understand why I feel this way. I don't understand what's going on with me. I just know I'm crazy about you. And I don't understand. I can't make sense. But I'm not going to say that anymore. I'm not going to talk about feelings with him anymore because it's not a good thing, I don't think.
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be a bad thing either. But I just think that every day for you now is like such a long time without him, and it feels
yes.
that way. But in reality, with guys, a day is like nothing. Guys are so different than we are. You know
yeah,
I mean?
It's like you know, for us, it's months, and then for them, it's you know, an hour.
No big
mm-hmm.
deal. I called a friend of mine who I've known for like 20 years, he and his wife. I asked to talk to his wife, and anyway, one thing led to another. He said she was ill or whatever, and I started crying, and I started telling him what was going on, and so then he started coming on to me, and then I said, look, if you're coming on to me, forget it. I want this guy, and I'm just asking you a guy's perspective. Why did this happen? What's going on? I mean, that's how crazy it was the first 3 or 4 days he was gone. You know, I was just not being, I was even nuttier, you know, than, I mean, I've calmed down since. But it's just weird stuff is happening, you know, like that. Anyway.
Right. I know. But Lisa, I want to remind you, I think I remember what you said. You said, I don't really want to get involved with this guy. And, you know, and I said, well, I think it's, I don't remember. I never remember what I tell people with their readings. But I think I said something like, if you want fun, you got it. You know, like, you know, but then I thought, at that time, and I still think this, the guy is attracted to you. He's not going to forget about you. He hasn't forgot about you. Let's see what happens in the next few days. I think he's going to be in contact with you. And like you said, he lives in the middle of nowhere, right? So,
well, he's in the middle of nowhere near me, about 3 miles away from me. I, you know, it's kind of a weird area that I live in. And he just okay. lives in the canyon. You know, on a ranch.
Right. So. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think you should just keep, I'm not saying don't put any energy into it because I think that's wrong. I think that you just put forward energy into it. Like, you are going to hear from him, and then you can discover what happened in the meantime and all the other stuff, you know. I feel good about it. I still feel good about it. So I don't know, you know. Beth, what do you think? Do you think, you know, the guy's, like, going to come back and be, you know, Romeo, or what do you think? Oops, yeah, answer him then. Okay. Well, anyways, Lisa, that's what I think, you know.
Thank you, Corinne. Thank you both. And I, you know, I don't know, it's weird, but... I mean,
I know,
it's not weird, but...
It's a crappy feeling, I know. It sucks.
Oh, God, thank you for knowing. Because, I mean, I do my work, I do my responsibilities, but I'm slower at it. You know, I go for my bike ride, I go to the farmer's market, I talk to people, I try to stay present, you know, I try to get good sleep. But it's rough. It's all very rough.
It is. But you know what also, Lisa, that this is teaching you, and I know it's like, man, do I have to learn anything else? What the hell? But I think this is teaching you. This is teaching you how to let go of things that you can't control. Because I feel like you might have, like, you know, everything's in order. I have everything in order. I have everything set. But most of life is out of our control. And I feel like this is a little bit of a lesson for you to just, like, be able to let go a little bit. You know, even when he comes back, just to let go a little bit and realize that everything flows as it should, you know?
Yeah, thank you. I just started to ask myself if I was living in a fool's paradise, you know, if I should just let it go and move on and stop, you know, just cut the I don't, you know, why drag something on emotionally if he's not going to be coming back? But you're picking up that he is, so I'll just continue. Because what I pray for and manifest, right, working on manifestation is balance. Just, please, I just want stability in my head.
I know, right, right. Can I ask you, Lisa, is he like, is he... sort of, is he like 5'8" or something?
Yes. No,
okay.
Thereabouts. Hey, you know how men are like 5'10" or something and they'll say they're 6 feet?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, kind of, sort of. I don't even know if he said it. I don't know. I really dig him, though. I don't care. You know, he could be... I mean, however he is, I really get excited. He's perfect to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was just trying to get a picture of him in my mind to, like, kind of gauge who he is, you know. But, yeah, I wouldn't, you know, don't be overwrought about this, because I don't think there's any need to be right now, you know. I'll be surprised,
okay.
Like I said, if you don't hear from him in the coming week, I'll be surprised, because I think that you're on his mind. He's gonna call you, or he's gonna do something. He's gonna get in touch with you somehow. And then you can commence with finding out what the hell, you know, like make your relationship more solid in some way, if you can, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think I've told him this so many times, you know, that I'm confused and I don't understand why I feel this way or how I feel that. I mean, if I were on the receiving end of that, I wouldn't want to have anything to do with it myself. You know, I think, wow, this is weird. You know, so I give him kudos if he sticks around.
Yeah, well, I mean, don't get down on yourself for saying that stuff. You know, I mean, that's how you were feeling, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, true. Oh, Corinne, thank you so much. Thank you. Put me at ease. Thank you.
Yeah.
To your guest, too. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, she's dropped now. I don't know what happened to her, but I'm waiting for her to call back. but see what I mean, Lisa? Things happen and we have no control over it. So we don't know what the hell's going on with him right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. He's got a full. I mean, who doesn't have a full plate? And I know he does too. Yeah,
right.
We all have
right.
full plates.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. But thank
yeah.
you, dear. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. So get in touch with me next Saturday if I'm on. Let me know what's happening.
Oh my God. Okay. Geez, now I'm a little nervous about that. I hope everything.
Well, don't be nervous. No, just keep looking forward and see, you know, keep thinking about him. He's thinking about you. Just keep the connection going, you know?
Okay. I will.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care now. Bye.
You too. Bye. Beth, are you there?
Hey, Corinne, yeah, I called you back on my cell phone because apparently we have an outage here in the area.
Oh,
I just, my son just came out freaking out, running out of his room. He's like, I can't connect to my Xbox. And the internet's down, the phone is down, so now I'm on my cell phone. So.
Wow, okay, thanks for calling back. Thank you. Like, someone would
no
try
problem.
To talk to you, but that's okay. Okay, so the next call we have is 402.
Hi, Corinne. It's Sharon. Hello,
hey,
Elizabeth. I don't have a specific question. It's been so long. I just would like a general reading about what you're picking up going on around me and where I might be headed.
Okay.
What I'm
Beth,
supposed to be doing.
Right. Beth, tell me what you're picking up, Beth, if you're picking up anything.
I'm still having audio problems, so I'm sorry. Can you repeat what you just said?
Sure. I just wanted a general reading, kind of what's, you know, what you're picking up going on around me, and I'm in a new state, a new everything, and kind of a new life, and I don't know really where to go.
So you have a new life going on for you. Is it because possibly that you've like left behind a romance or, you know, an ex-husband, ex-boyfriend, something like that?
There was somebody, but that's not why I left. I left for survival, really, and I came out to be closer to my daughter.
So are you thinking about being safer? Like in general.
Am I thinking about being safer?
Like, do you think you maybe were in jeopardy before, and now you want to be safer?
Yeah. I was, but I was and kind of still am, but that's just a hard question. But yeah, you're picking up on definitely there's issues.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I feel like is like there's, you know, some kind of, you know, it doesn't even have to be like physical danger or anything like that, but maybe emotional danger. Maybe you're looking for a safer space to just, you know, be yourself, be able to express yourself, be who you are, that kind of thing.
I've had a lot of trouble with, you know, I don't know, it just sounds crazy, but it's the truth. Harassment would be a good...
Yeah, that's never good, huh? That's not fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, dealing with that causes a lot
before.
Of stress.
What?
Yeah. What'd you say, Beth?
I said that causes a lot of stress, which is,
yeah.
You know, usually very detrimental.
Right. Sharon, I feel like there's a move that you might be making, but it's very close to where you are right now. I feel like it's like maybe 15 minutes away. I don't feel like you're going to be moving anywhere very far. Because she is, Beth, I'll tell you, Sharon has dealt with a lot of stuff that has caused her stress. So you're right about that. But Sharon, I feel like if you move, and there's a possibility that you might move, but it's going to be very close to where you are right now. I don't feel like it's going to be miles and miles away. What else? Where you are right now, are you with your daughter right now, or where are you?
I'm in my own place, you know,
okay.
That I rent, but
right.
I'm not far from her.
Okay. Because I feel like in the place that you're going to move to, if you do decide to move, it's going to have a lilac bush in the backyard, and it's very pretty. I don't know if so, I mean, there is a chance that you can move if you decide to make the move. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it's going to be any better for the circumstances. But, I mean, certainly, it's going to
really?
Be a nice. It's going to be a nicer place, but I don't know if it'll improve the circumstances of what you might be going through. You know.
Wow. You got any idea who's doing this? Or why?
Who's doing what?
The harassing. So you don't
you
think
still...
it's going to stop?
I don't know about the harassment. I'm not sure about that. I can't.
Oh. Okay.
I can't see anything about that. Yeah.
I thought that's what you were talking about.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, it might be. It might be better for that. I'm not sure. I don't. Shit. I don't know. I don't want to say either way because I'm not exactly sure.
Bye. Well, I'm not real sure how I'm gonna
be able to do that, or how I can find this place.
Funny that you say lilac bush. I was just thinking about my lilac bush. I planted, you know, it was my first big expense in my home. $5 when my kids were little, you know, $5 plant. It was a big splurge. And it grew to be almost to the second story. Beautiful.
Nice. Oh, my God. That is beautiful. Wow.
But I had to leave. You know, that was at my house.
Yeah.
And none of that
was
ever resolved. You know, I just had an opportunity to come out here. So I took it.
Yeah, I think that was good. I think that was a good move, you know. Believe it or not, I think it was a good move.
I don't know, you know. I don't know how things are going to pan out with my daughter and my grandkids. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of stuck.
Yeah.
You don't left everything behind, even my stuff in storage. I don't even know how I'm going to get that.
Mm-hmm. Right. I know, it stinks. I know. I don't know.
That's why I was kind of saying, you know, kind of in general, what's going on. Don't have a specific.
Okay, because I got to make an announcement. Hold on a second, Sharon. I got to make an announcement. Okay, so if you guys are listening live, you have to call in to hear the rest of the show, and you have to call in to 818-369-0327. So if you're not on the call, on the line, the phone call, you won't be able to hear the rest of the show. So I want to tell you that right now so you have time to do that. You only have like a minute to do that. So just in case you want to hear the rest of the show, you got to call into that phone number, 818-369-0327. Okay. Sorry about that, Sharon.
No, that's okay. Is Elizabeth still there?
I'm here, yeah.
Oh, okay. You're just kind of in shock or what?
No. one of the things that that keeps coming to my mind is that process. Taking baby steps, like, you know, breaking things down, all the things you need to do, all the things you're worried about, all the things that are overwhelming you maybe about this, is that, you know, breaking them down into smaller processes might make you feel a little bit better.
Right.
Like, all make it easier to accomplish.
Stuff, huh?
Say that again. Sorry.
I said all that common sense stuff you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, you know, one.
Oh, I know. And I do that. It's just kind of, you know, that endless cycle. And I don't have any friends here or anything, so.
I totally get that.
I had to leave my car, so I don't have a car. So I need a new car and a new house. So there you go.
Right. Yeah. Sharon,
yeah, like often breaking things down to smaller increments tends to help. So, I mean, there's that.
Mhm. Right.
I guess, you know, I want to say something before we get off. Probably the situation I'm in now is not anywhere near as bad as it was, because it was about as bad as it could get. And Kareem sent me a purple plate to help me. She just did it out of the kindness of her heart. She used to send me prayers too. So I just wanted to say that, because she mentioned that she would do that if someone really needed it. And she did that for me. So. It was very sweet.
Yeah. Geez. Sharon, I feel like you're surrounded by so much beautiful spirit that are trying to help you. And
oh, I believe that.
Yeah. And, I mean, I know that one day things are going to even out, and they are already starting to be smoother for you. Like you said, it's not as bad as it was. It's getting better, and it's going to continue to get better, you know?
I just, if you can wait that long.
I know, it feels, you know, I know it feels like, man, is this ever going to end? But it will. It will end, you know?
Yeah. We all die. At least our bodies do anyway. I agree. There's no such thing as death.
No,
that's
one
of your topic I was listening to.
Thank you.
Do you feel I'm going to get my stuff back, or there'll be any justice with what happened to me, my home?
I don't know about that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like you will get your stuff back, but I don't know about the justice part of it. You know?
Right. I feel you said there's a lot of people around me.
Yeah, there is.
You know, well, most of my family is in heaven. They're not here. So that makes sense. But, you know, you feel I feel so guilty that I wasn't able to stop this.
No, you got to get rid of it. Sharon, you got to get rid of that guilt. You should not feel guilty. You have to get rid of that guilt. There's no way you were responsible for anything that happened. You have to get rid of that.
It's just hard.
It is wicked hard.
You know,
it's hard,
especially when there's so many lies told about you, you know, and your family.
Yeah, I know. It is. It's like impossible almost. But I feel like you have the strength to do this. You have the strength to realize that there is nothing you could have done to prevent this. And for some reason, we don't know right now as Earth beings, as humans, this had to happen for some freaking reason. It sounds horrible, and it is a horrible situation. But for some reason... But you know what? I believe that when we pass on, we will understand why it happened. And I know that. And I
know,
pass over.
You guys, I mean, in the title of the show tonight, you were talking about, is there a hell? You know, do we keep going? And sometimes I wonder, are these people so stupid and so ignorant that they don't realize that they're going to pay for this, for doing bad things to people?
Well, yeah, like I said, you know, when you go, whatever, I don't want to get into it again, but I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying, you know?
Yeah, I guess it shocks me.
I know.
Doesn't everybody, like you said, energy cannot be created or destroyed. So, obviously, we don't die.
No.
Right? So.
Right.
I guess it puzzles me.
People puzzle me every freaking day. I can't understand people and their cruelty. And the way that they act, I don't understand it either. No?
Right. And I'm just kind of tired of it.
I know. I hear you, sister. Believe me, I hear you, you know?
Yeah.
But listen, we got to move on, Sharon. But listen, I want you to hang in there, and I want you to realize that things are going to get better. Things are getting better already, and they're going to continue to progress and get better. Trust me.
I hope so.
Okay? Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
You're in my
good night.
Prayers. Okay. Good night.
Thanks. Bye.
Yeah. Okay. So, So now we have 804, and Elizabeth, I'm gonna let you take this while I go to call someone. 804.
Hello. Good evening.
Hello.
Hi. Hi. Thank y'all for taking my call.
Sure.
My boyfriend had passed last year on St. Patrick's Day last March. not this March, but last year in March on St. Patrick's Day. And let's see, his brother lives across the street from me, and he kind of lives like around the corner. And his brother has sold one of his scooters, which was an electric scooter, and he has my boyfriend's gas scooter. And I was wondering if y'all know if he's gonna sell the gas scooter, and if he might come to me about it.
I would hope that he does. Why would he not?
Well, he seems like he's kind of a grumbly person.
No, okay. So he's going to be greedy?
Well, at the time after my boyfriend passed, he was kind of being grumbly about what I can and can't have. And you know, his scooter, my boyfriend's scooter, is just sitting in the parking lot, and it's been sitting over there since last month. And I thought he was turning it back into the dealership, being that, you know, actually he haven't really finished paying for it, and I don't know if the dealership really has forgiven the debt that my boyfriend owed, or if his brother's going to sell the scooter, and if he is, if he's going to try to come to me about it. So I was kind of wondering about that, and in a way also I was kind of wondering if he was hoping that I would spot the scooter in the parking lot, because his parking lot is across the street, you know.
Right. So, I mean, can you reason with him? Can you talk? Are you able to, like, have a reasonable conversation with him?
I'm kind of wondering if he might say, well, you don't need the scooter. You don't know how to ride a scooter.
Yes.
I mean, it's true that I don't know how to ride it, but I can learn.
Sorry, but I have a call coming in real quick, and I'm going to go and get it real quick.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm here. Okay. So I feel like he's going to sell the scooter, and what do you want to know about that, you know?
Well, I was wondering if he was going to, like, before he tried to sell it to someone, if he's going to come to me first, or should I go to him?
Go to him. I think you should go to him. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, because he is going to sell it. I feel like he's going to sell it, and you need to contact him.
Okay. Do you think he's going to end up selling it to me?
Have you offered to buy it?
No, not yet, but I was kind of mulling over in my head, you know, how his attitude might be if I come to him about it. And I wasn't sure if I should ask him or not.
I think you should ask him, and I think that he would sell it to you.
Okay.
That's why I'm saying you need to reach out to him, I feel, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know if he'll try to sell it to me kind of cheap, because it got some age on it?
Yeah, so I'm saying I haven't seen the thing. I don't know what it's worth, but I'm seeing like $80. I don't know why.
Uh-huh. Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and also, if you don't mind me asking, and I know this might sound kind of strange, being that I just asked about if he's going to sell my boyfriend's gas scooter, but he also had a electric scooter, and it was like a mobility scooter, a three-wheeler, and he sold it to another guy that lives very close by, and the other guy, he don't really ride the scooter. He got a white pickup truck. Do you know if that guy's not going to keep the electric scooter and also try to sell it?
Huh. for some reason, I feel like the guy's going to keep it.
Oh.
For some, like, there's somebody that can use it that he knows, or so, I don't know, something about him keeping it.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, truth be told, I was hoping I would get that one also.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you know, that's why I think it's important for you to reach out to this other guy, and then you can ask him also, is he willing to sell that to me, back to me, or whatever, you know what I mean? You can't be afraid to speak out and ask, because
okay.
I feel like that they respect you, and they would help you if they're given the opportunity to.
Okay. And I would say that the reason why I asked also is not only because my boyfriend had it, but also because, you know, in the area that I live at, I don't really know people out here, and I'm part of the reason why I moved here is because of my boyfriend, but he had, like I said, he had passed on last year. And transportation has really been a real pain for me. And, you know, whether I go by cab or if I might try to ask someone else. And I really need my own ride. And, you know, it's, like I said, it's really a headache trying to get around. And there's a city bus out here, but, you know, I still would rather have my own way of getting around.
Right,
so,
of course.
That's right.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Yeah, all you can do is, like, reach out and ask them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I keep my fingers crossed. I'll contact him tomorrow.
Yeah. I think that they're going to be very he's going to be very receptive to you. And then he can figure out what the other guy can do, too. So just, you know, just be very honest and say, I need this. I need it. And he might, you know, I think he's going to do the right thing, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and I got one final question, if you will. A little while ago, y'all was talking about, you know, dying. And that we'll still be living afterwards. And another question, you know, about that. And you know, I've been really interested in trying to learn how to, if I can, learn how to communicate with the spirit world and everything. And I mean, I don't know if you have to have experience with that, and I don't know how I can get started in learning. But I guess I miss people that. You know, I really love and care about and pets so much that I wish I can communicate with them, you know, after they pass on.
Uh-huh. And you can. And it's not that hard. Okay, so the first thing I would suggest to you, which I suggest to everyone, is that you have to have the same time of day every day. Like, say it's 3 mm-hmm. o'clock in the afternoon for 15 minutes. And you do sort of, not a, you know, you're just silent and you're sitting on your bed and you're, like, asking them for their attention. But try to do this every day at the same time. And then what comes into your mind, you know, even though you think you're making it up and it's coming from you, like if you ask them a question like, how are you or what's going on or what should I do, your mind is actually coming from them. Just make yourself, you know, make sure everything's silent, you're alone and everything's peaceful. Start talking to them out loud. Ask the questions you want to ask. And then what comes into your mind, because they won't speak out loud. Sometimes they will speak out loud to you. You'll hear their voices. But most times you're going to hear it in your mind, okay? And then you'll know. What comes into your mind, the first thing that comes into your mind, that is from them, okay? And then from that, when you do that every day at the same time, you're going to build up the rapport so they know every time you're going to sit there in silence, they can communicate with you at that time. So then you're going to build that. You know what I mean? That's like the first thing that I would tell people. I'm actually going to have a show on this, how to communicate with the other side. So, I mean, I hope you'll join me for that. But yeah, that's the first thing I can tell you. Don't doubt what you're getting when it comes into your mind, because you're going to think, oh, I just made that up, or that's my thought. No, it's not your thought. It's coming from them. So remember that, you know?
Okay.
Can you join me for the free class on how to connect? That would be awesome, you know?
Yeah, sure would. do you know when you will have the class? I mean, is it going to be online or through Blog Talk Radio?
Yeah, it's going to be through this show, and I'm going to say it's going to be in about 2 weeks. So if you if you follow this show, you'll get a notice about it. So yeah, all you have to do is follow the show, and then you'll get a notice when it's going to happen. But it's going to be probably in 2 weeks from now, because I get this question. So many people ask me this question. So I think it's really a good thing to put that out there. Like, let's talk about this. You know, let's say show people how they can do it themselves, you know?
Yeah. So that's great. Well, I will follow the show, and I make sure that I, you know, that I be a part of it, because I'm really interested in learning.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. Well, I appreciate you very much.
Okay, and I thank y'all for answering the questions for me.
Sure, you're welcome. You're welcome. So I'll see you at the show, hopefully.
Okay, and my name is Vernell, to start with a V, like in Virginia, and I'm from Virginia.
Vernell, yes, I remember.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Vernell.
Okay, thank y'all very much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, 551? 551. Nope. Okay, 951. 951? Okay. 951 not answering. Okay. All right, I guess that's the end of the show. So thanks, you guys, for joining me tonight. I really appreciate it. And that was Beth Blue, Elizabeth Blue, who is my guest tonight. She's awesome. And next time, like I said, I'm going to have a new reader on, probably next weekend. And then the weekend after, I want to do the show on connecting with the other side, because I think it's important, and we all need that. We all need to know how we can talk to our loved ones on the other side. There's so many people that we've lost that we love, and let's get in touch with them the best way we can. So I'll have that probably in 2 weeks, like I told Vernell. And in the meantime, I want you guys to take care of yourselves and take care of each other. And I appreciate you guys very much. So we'll see you next time, and have a very good night, you guys, wherever you are. Thank you.
Living hell of another world.
Step out of the world you see.
You do not respond.
The Supernatural Radio Show. Open up your mind.
We programmed your brain.
The Supernatural Radio Show.
You must learn to obey.
Brought to you by PurplePlates.com for harmony, healing, and living energy products for a greater quality of life. The Supernatural Radio Show.
That's